tonight. Turn to Mark chapter 5. Mark 5. Mark chapter 5. So I'm going to continue on this Mother's Day series we've been in on rest. On rest. How about it, moms? You need a little rest, right? Need some rest. The series, it's been about resting, trusting in the Lord. And so we're going to continue that this morning. I want to look at the story of a woman who had an issue, a major, major issue. It doesn't say if she was a mom. It doesn't say if she was a wife, but she had an issue. And before you start judging this woman with an issue, because I know some of your moms are thinking, well, let me tell you about my issues. I got to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning. I got to get the kids in the shower. I got to comb their hair. I got to feed them breakfast. I got to get them to the bus stop, see them off. I got to come home, clean the mess that they left. And then I got to go back, and I got to pick them up at 3:30. We have a snack, do our homework, get them to their sports practice. And then we bring them back. I got to cook dinner. We got to clean the dishes, put them in the bath, put them to bed. And all the while, my husband's sitting in his lazy boy watching baseball. And I got to clean up after him. I got issues. I got issues. So happy Mother's Day, by the way. Happy Mother's Day. So, let's look at this lady's issue. Verse 25. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood. The King James Version says an issue of blood. Okay. And okay, so this is a legit issue. Okay. A flow of blood for 12 years. And it suffered many things from the physicians. She spent all that she had and was no better. But rather it grew worse. When she had heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, for she said, "If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." Immediately, the fountain or the flow of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to him, "You see the multitude thronging you, surrounding you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. I was joking a little earlier, but you could see she really had a legit issue. She was hemorrhaging. She had a hemorrhage of blood for 12 years. She had went back and forth to the physician. She had given all her money. She'd spent all her money. The physician had promised that, do this. But nothing got better. As a matter of fact, it actually grew worse. She was left helpless. She was hopeless. She was in despair. What do I do? But then she heard that Jesus was coming to town. Jesus was going to be passing through. She heard about Jesus. She heard about the miracles and the wonders that Jesus performed. And you could see by the story, her faith rose up in her. And she said, if I can just touch his clothes. I like the King James Version of this because it says, this is New King James, but the King James says, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, just the tassel, of the Jewish people wore tallits. If I could just touch the tassel of his tallit, I will be healed and made whole. You know, usually when you read the Gospels, Jesus is usually the one doing the touching, isn't he? He's the one laying his hands on the sick and the lame and the blind. But this case here, she laid her hands on Jesus. And healing virtue flowed from Jesus into this woman, and she was healed. Now look what Jesus said to her. He said in verse 34, "Daughter, it was your faith. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. There's a lot of messages in this phrase. Most of the messages I've preached pertaining to this scripture has been focused on when Jesus said, "Daughter, your faith has made you well." That's what we usually preach. And yes, that is it's a wonderful lesson on faith. It was a wonderful lesson about persistence. I'm getting to Jesus. If I can touch his hem, I can be made whole. So we got a great story on faith here. But I want to focus on the phrase, go in peace. Go in peace. I've usually passed up on this phrase. See, for so long, I just really saw it this week, to be honest with you. Because when I read this scripture, I see, okay, Jesus says, "Daughter, your faith has made you well." And then Jesus says, "Go in peace." I've always thought of this as like Jesus is bidding farewell. Have a peaceful trip. Have a peaceful journey. Isn't that how you usually read it? I mean, that's how I read it. So, you know, go in peace. Go in peace. Have a good trip. Bye-bye. Sayonara. Shalom. Peace. But actually, there's an amazing observation here that's a game changer. And I've said this before, you can't just read your Bible, you've got to read your Bible. Because a lot of phrases and words through thousands of years are lost in translation. So I actually went back and I looked at this phrase, go in peace. And I looked at it in the original text in the Greek. And actually, Jesus doesn't say go in peace. Like, I'm bidding farewell. He actually uses, well, the English translation of the word would be go into peace. Into. That little preposition, that changes everything. He's not just saying bye-bye. He's not just saying, all right, have a good peaceful trip. He's literally saying to this woman, your faith has made you well. Now, go into or step into this new realm of peace. He's introducing to this woman a new way to live. Actually, he's introducing to this woman a new place to live. It's a new address. Here's peace. Here's peace. Now, step into peace. It's a new place to live. It's the place of peace. Now, I found that interesting. Because now we got a sermon. That's what I'm preaching today. Go into peace. I was thinking about this lady that Jesus, she had faith to be healed. She touched him. She was healed. So obviously Jesus felt the need to tell this woman, okay, now that you're healed, you need to go into peace. Step into peace. So could it have been that to me, it's like Jesus is telling this woman to go into peace because in my mind, I'm thinking, well, she's probably not living in peace. She's probably living with anxiety, stress, worry, holding the cares, harboring the cares of this world. And I was thinking, well, could it have been that if Jesus is telling her, okay, you need to step into this realm of peace, this place of Jesus, could it be that the reason she was hemorrhaging for 12 years and it couldn't stop, could it be it's because she wasn't living life in the place of peace? We talked a couple weeks back how carrying anxiety, carrying stresses, carrying cares and worries, it's actually a contributor to health issues. All the nurses, the doctors, whatever, major heart issues, cancer flare-ups, and scholars believe, now I'm not going to get crude here, but scholars do believe that this was a feminine issue. And could it be that the cares, the stresses, the anxieties prolong this issue, prolong this hemorrhaging, and she was void of peace. She had no peace in her heart. She was living in severe stress and anxiety. And here's the deal. If you're living your life in a constant state of anxiety and worry and fear and cares and stress, It doesn't matter what the doctors give you. You're never going to have continual peace. And they can give you all the meds in the world, but that care, that worry, that stress, that voids it out. And this woman, she lived in a perpetual state of anxiety. She had this issue, this flow, this hemorrhaging of blood. And maybe that's not your issue, but maybe you've got a different kind of issue, maybe a different kind of health issue. Every cure you've tried has failed. You can't seem to get the answer. You're trying this, you're trying that. Nothing seems to be working. You're not getting better. You're wondering, why can't I get healed? Why can't I get better? Or maybe let's take it from the physical and let's get into the emotional realm or the soulish realm. Maybe you're a single mom struggling to raise a family. Struggling to make ends meet. You're exhausted. You've exhausted all your energy and resources. You've got nothing left to give. That's my issue right there. That's my issue. Maybe you've done all you can to mend a broken relationship. Maybe there's trouble at home. Maybe there's trouble with the spouse. You're trying. Nothing seems to be working. Maybe it's a relationship with a child. You've exerted efforts. You're trying this. You're trying to rectify the situation. You're trying to make amends, but nothing seems to work. They're pushing me out. Actually, it actually seems to be getting worse. Well, the Bible says, where two or more are gathered in His name, I'm in the midst. And so my message today is that Jesus is here. Jesus is walking in our midst today, and just like the woman with the issue of blood that reached out and touched Jesus, you can reach out and you can touch Jesus today and be healed of your affliction. And also you can step into that realm of peace, that realm of perfect peace. And that's the invitation today, that Jesus is saying to you, step into peace, step into peace. Do you want to step into peace today? Wouldn't you like to live life in this realm of peace, this realm of peace? I got three quick observations about this invitation from Jesus to step into peace. Number one, it's His peace. It's His peace. If you're visiting here, I get real deep in sermons, okay? My sermon notes are really deep. It's His peace. I'm being facetious. Actually, I preach as if I'm preaching to myself, and I'm not too smart, so I really preach. I have to preach down to my level, okay? So anyways, it's His peace, class. It's His peace. The peace, here's the peace that Jesus gives, it's not the worldly kind of peace. It's not just tranquility, euphoria. It's this state of ecstasy. It's not just an absence from conflict. It's so much more. John 14:27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Jesus is literally saying, he's like pulling peace from Himself. Peace, 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 peace. Here, I'm giving you my peace. The word for peace that Jesus is using, it would be similar to the Hebrew word shalom. You've heard that word shalom. It's usually as a if you're leaving the Jewish custom, as you're leaving, shalom. But shalom is there's so much in this word shalom. My shalom I leave with you. What does shalom mean? Well, actually, shalom, the literal meaning of shalom is wholeness. Wholeness. Jesus wants us to be whole. Wholeness, completeness, prosperity. The word prosperity is in this word shalom. Welfare, health, and healing is in the word shalom. Harmony, unity, all of that is encompassed in this word shalom. So when Jesus is saying, my peace I give to you, he's saying my shalom, my wholeness, my completeness, my prosperity, my health, my healing, my harmony, I give to you. How many of you want this kind of peace right here? That's what I'm talking about. Wholeness, prosperity, healing. Well, all is in peace. This word shalom is like a cousin, or let's say like a brother, to the word salvation. They're basically, our word salvation is the word soteria. Soteria means to be healed, to be made whole, to be prospered. That's soteria. Shalom means prospered, wholeness, complete. So they're basically the same. And this is amazing to me. My peace I give. And of course they're going to be the same because Jesus is the author of both. Amen. The name Jesus means God is salvation. And the Bible says in Isaiah that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. So Jesus is saying, I'm giving you my wholeness, my completeness, my prosperity and welfare and harmony. Now step into it. Go into it and dwell in this place of shalom. For peace, the world just looks for temporary fixes, don't they? Maybe some of you are just looking for a temporary fix. We set up our appointments with the massage therapist. I mean, and that feels good. That's good. The spa, that's good. Some will try to center themselves and practice yoga, or they to numb the stress and the cares and anxiety, they'll drink alcohol, and that just and here's the deal: all that stuff's going to go away though. What are you going to do when that? Feeling that you had and the blood circulation and that calm, peaceful feeling from getting the massage and the spa treatment and all and the yoga? And what are you going to do when the buzz wears off? And you're stuck in the middle of traffic and the horns are or you're trying to go through UF on a Monday at like 11 o'clock and you're like, I just want to run over these kids. Get out of my way! I think that happened to me pretty late. Oh, okay. There's a good touch. People say, Ray, do you know much about Gainesville? No. I stay clear of that area. What are you going to do when you get that bad report from the doctor? What are you going to do when the boss is breathing down your neck and reality has set in or you come home to screaming kids? What are you going to do when it's another trial, it's another issue, it's another tribulation that's set in? I'm preaching we need a permanent peace. Right. We need a shalom that comes from Jesus. We need to step into this shalom. Number one, it's His peace. It's His peace. Another observation about His peace. Look back at John chapter 14. 14 verse 27, Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Now look back one verse to verse 26. Jesus says, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. So Jesus, he's speaking about the Holy Spirit. He says the Father's going to send the Holy Spirit. He's going to teach you. He's going to guide you. And then he says, my peace, I leave with you. So when we're looking at these verses, 26 and 27, they need to be looked at in the same context. They need to be looked at in the same context. The context here is guidance. The context here is being led, being taught. Notice he says the Holy Spirit, he will teach you. He will teach you. This lets me know that instead of being stressed and worried and anxious, what am I going to do about this? What am I going to do about that? I can go to the Holy Spirit and I can ask the Holy Spirit to lead, to teach. And don't you like the fact that he says the Holy Spirit will teach us all things? Yes. That's cool to me. Because I like the fact that the Holy Spirit teaches me the Word of God, that I learn from the Holy Spirit about spiritual things. But I also like the fact that I can ask the Holy Spirit about, will you help me with this situation? Will you help me? I'm on the job and I got to do this report right here. Can you teach me this? I can ask the Holy Spirit to teach me all things. So, okay, he will teach, he will lead, he will guide. This is what I'm getting at. So how does he teach? How does he lead? How does he guide? Notice he says, and my peace I give to you. All right, so verse 26, he's given us the Holy Spirit. Verse 27, he's given us his peace. So obviously, the two are working collectively together to lead, to guide, the Holy Spirit and peace. How does the Holy Spirit lead and guide and teach? He guides through peace, inner peace in your heart. That's your second point. He guides through peace. It's the peace of Christ. It's the Spirit of Christ. But who is administering the peace in our heart and guiding us? The Holy Spirit. Let me show you what I'm talking about. If you wanted, okay, where how are you guided by peace? How does the Holy Spirit give peace to teach, to guide? Well, Colossians 3:15 says, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. So there we go. The peace of Christ, the peace of Jesus is to rule in our hearts. What does this mean? The word rule actually means in the Greek to arbitrate, to decide, and I like this phrase, to act as an umpire. So it's saying, let the peace act as an umpire in your hearts. Let the peace decide. Let the peace of God, of Christ, rule in your hearts. Umpire. What does an umpire do? The umpire makes the final decision, right? If you're in a baseball game, it's the umpire who calls the strikes and the balls. It's the umpire who determines if the runner's out. You can argue with the umpire. You can say he's safe. But if the umpire says he's out, then he's out. So in the same way, that's an example of how the peace of Christ is to rule and decide in our heart. It's the peace of Jesus inside our hearts, administered by the Holy Spirit, that is the final decision and the final say of everything that we're praying about. Let me just tell you how you apply this, okay? This is where I'm getting at. If you've got a decision, here's what I want to get you to. If you've got a decision that you've got to make, or you've got an issue that you're concerned about, you don't know what direction to take, what am I going to do? I'm going to get counsel over here, I can get counsel over there, I can talk to this person, or you can pray for the peace of God in your heart. This is what I do. You pray for the peace of God. I want to follow the way of peace in my heart. You don't have to pray for a fleece or, God, I got to hear your voice. I got to hear your audible voice. You don't have to pray that way. See, a lot of Christians, when I say a fleece, throwing out a fleece, a lot of Christians will pray like this. God, if you want me to do this, I want you to form a cloud that looks like Jesus. Let the cloud look like Jesus, and that'll be my sign. God, give me a sign. God, I need a sign. I've heard people in the church come to me and say, I'm asking Jesus for a sign about this and that. You know what Jesus said? Jesus told the Pharisees, a wicked generation seeks a sign. Because we don't follow after signs. We don't, and look, we're spirit, we believe in the fullness of the Spirit, and we believe, I mean, I'm not saying that God doesn't speak today audibly or all that kind of stuff, but the general way that the Holy Spirit speaks into your life is through the way of peace. You pray about that situation. You say, God, give me a peace. He's either going to give you a peace, a nice fuzzy feeling in your heart, or you're not going to have peace. It's really that simple. And you follow the way of peace. That's how we know the Holy Spirit is speaking to us. How do you know the Holy Spirit? He guides through peace. But I can't never hear. I can't determine. I can't determine if the Holy Spirit is speaking. Is that peace? Is that indigestion? Is that gas? What is that? Is a peace? Well, a lot of you aren't quiet enough to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. You get a word. God, I need direction in life. I need a direction about this decision. And I like to get a word. Like Proverbs 3:5. God, I'm going to trust in the Lord with all my heart. I'm not going to lean to my own understanding. All my ways I'm going to acknowledge you, and you're going to direct my path. I thank you for directing my path. I thank you, Jesus, you said, my sheep hear my voice. I'm your sheep. I thank you that I hear your voice. And now I want to be still. I want to be still, and I want to sense your peace on the direction to take. We follow the way of peace. We don't have to seek signs. We don't have to seek the audible voices. And I'm telling you, I know that's not the exciting way, but that's the way the Holy Spirit will lead you. That's the way the Holy Spirit will lead you 9 times out of 10. See, here, unfortunately, a lot of people aren't led by peace. They don't make decisions based on peace in their heart. We'll make decisions based on how we feel. Based on our emotions. But you're going to make some dumb decisions if you make your decisions only based on how you feel. Amen. On your emotions. You know, people say, we learn from our mistakes. I get that. I don't want to learn from my mistakes. I want to get it right the first time. I got to hear and heed the voice of peace. We're led by our emotions. We're led by how we feel. We're led by our desires. I want it. But I want it. Can't afford it, but I want it. It's only that vehicle's only $200 a month for 300 years, I can afford $200 a month. I know it only costs $20,000 now, and I'll end up paying $300,000. But I want it. I want it. Can you afford it? You know that salesman is like, but it's only $5 a day. You can afford $5 a day, and see, and we end up getting stuck, or we. Here's another one, because I just recently had a conversation with somebody who had a timeshare. Oh, you get into this timeshare, and oh, I get these vacations, and they don't tell you, you got to pay these service fees forever and ever and ever and ever. Ah, but I want it, but I want it, but I want it. Or we're led by fear. Worry. We can miss the mark also by being led by fear, can't we? You know, worrying about this, but I can't do this because I'm fearing this will happen. You know, I'm just a country boy from the South, but when God called me to go to Southern California, I mean, I'm this you know, North Carolina. Carolina guy from the South, and I like it things slow. I've got my conservative views, and God wants me to go to the left coast, to California. But God, I don't fit in California. I mean, I'm like a fish in dry land, but I didn't follow my fear. I didn't follow my fear. I followed the peace of God. I had the peace of God in my heart, and it worked out because I'm here, because I followed the way of peace. Let the peace of God rule and reign in your heart. It's His peace. Number two, He guides through peace. This is the realm that I want you to step into. What? Don't you want to be in this realm right here, the land of peace? Amen. Don't you want to be led by the way of peace? Number three, he not only guides through peace, he guards through peace. Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It's peace. It's His shalom that mounts guard around our mind and mounts guard around our hearts. When your mind and when your heart gets out of peace, that's when the guard comes down, and that's when we're exposed to the enemy. That's when we're exposed to the enemy attacks. Where's the battlefield? The mind. When we're not at peace, when we're not living in this place of shalom and perfect peace, the guard is down for our mind, the guard is down from our heart, and the enemy comes in with his lies. He shoots these missiles in our mind of condemnation, despair, hopelessness. There's no hope for you. You're a loser. You're a failure. We've got to keep the guard up around our mind. We've got to keep the guard up around our heart. The Bible says in Proverbs, above all else, guard your heart. What do we guard it with? The peace of Christ. The peace of Christ. How do we stay in peace? How do we stay in peace? Well, look at verse 6 of Philippians 4. Be anxious for nothing. Don't stress. Don't worry. King James says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then that's when it says, and the God of peace will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So how do we keep the guard up around our minds and our hearts? We resist worry. We resist stress. We resist anxieties. We cast them on the Lord. We pray about everything. And notice it says, with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. When the enemy comes to invade you, when the enemy comes to and shoot his fiery darts into your mind of unworthiness and hopelessness and helplessness, we gotta cast those down in the name of Jesus. I rebuke those thoughts. These thoughts are not my thoughts. I cast these down in Jesus' name. Devil, no weapon that's formed against me shall prosper. Now, God, I'm going to give all these thoughts and missiles that the devil's, I'm going to give these to you, and I'm going to give you the glory, and I'm going to give you the thanks that I'm going to be in perfect shalom peace. That's what happens. That's what we do when the enemy attacks. He guards our minds and our hearts through Christ Jesus. I'm going to close by just going back to that woman with an issue of blood. Back to Mark 5:34, where we started in. Jesus said, daughter, your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well. Go into peace. Be healed of your affliction. Go into peace. Remember, it's His peace. His peace guides. His peace guards. Now, I wanted to see if y'all caught this. Because she said, if I can just but touch his garment, I'll be made whole. She touched, she was healed. She was healed. Then Jesus says, your faith has made you whole. So she's healed. Why did Jesus tell the woman who was already healed, now go into peace and be healed of your affliction? You see that? It's almost like they're clashing or they don't seem to go together. Jesus, she's already healed. Why are you telling the woman to be healed? Is she getting healed again of her affliction? What's the deal? There again, my last little session of Greek this morning, you've got to go a little deeper to see what he's talking about. And this is another thing that amazed me as well. Because in our English grammar, we have tenses, past, present, future, right? Past, present, future tense. In the Greek, that phrase, go in peace and be healed of your affliction, in the Greek, the tense is present perfect. Here's how this changes everything. Basically, what Jesus is actually telling this girl is that you're already healed. You're already healed. Now, go into peace. See, what's happening is it's a continuous, in the Greek, in the phrasing here, it's a continuously present action. It's always present. It's always presence. We know she's already healed. So here's basically what Jesus is saying. Let me get to the point. You're already healed. Now, step into this realm of peace. And if you step into this realm of peace and stay in this realm of peace, you will always continuously stay healed. That's actually what Jesus is saying. Let's just think about this. Just think about this. You're healed. Step into peace. Stay in peace, the shalom peace that guards my heart and mind. If you stay in this realm of peace, then you'll always stay healed. Amen. Just let that sink in. What Jesus is basically saying, he's saying this. Faith in me got you healed. But staying in the peace that's from me will keep you healed. What Jesus is doing here is Jesus has given this woman the key to living the abundant life in Christ. The key to living the abundant life of Christ. The key to staying healed. The key to staying prosperous. The key to staying whole. The key to the prospering and being complete. The key is to stay in the realm of peace. Always keep my mind guarded with peace. Always keep my heart guarded with peace. Does this make sense? Yes. You got to just let this sit. You got to just, this is just got to get it. Be healed. Get healed. Stay in peace. I stay healed. I stay healed. Now, why is there so much power? Why is there so much power in this peace? Why is there so much power in peace? Well, remember, peace is not a feeling. Shalom is not a feeling. Shalom is Jesus. That's why when you stay in peace, you stay healed. You stay prospered. You stay whole. You stay in a state of harmony. You stay in a place of serenity. No matter if the storm's raging, no matter if the battle's raging against me, I choose to stay in peace. And the peace of God's gonna guard my heart and mind, and I will not be shaken. I will not be moved. If you said I'm healed, I'm healed. If you said I'm prospered in the name of Jesus. I don't care if I'm broken in food stamps, I'm still prosperous. I'm just now warmed up. Man, I just now, 30 minutes, and I'm just now ready to preach. I want in his peace. I want in his peace. I want in his peace. So really, here's what Jesus is saying. He's when he says go into peace and stay healed, he's really saying, since he is peace, come into me.
Right.
Abide in me, and you'll stay healed. I am peace. I am healing. I'm the healer. I'm the completer. I'm the one who prospers. Hallelujah, I feel this thing. How many of you want to step into peace this morning? I want to step into this realm of peace. I want to ask you to bow your heads if you would. That's the invitation to you. I don't know how you walked in this morning. You might have walked in turmoil and chaos. The world might feel like it's caving in and crashing in around you. But you can walk out today dwelling in the land of peace, dwelling in the realm of peace that passes all understanding. That realm is a person. That realm is Jesus Christ. And before we sing a final song of worship, I want to just ask you, do you know Jesus, the Prince of Peace? Have you asked Jesus to save you, to heal you? Have you asked Jesus to save your soul from hell? There's one way, there's one way, there's one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. I'm preaching to you and admonishing you, please receive Jesus as your Savior today. Don't wait a day, don't wait a day. If you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or maybe you don't know, maybe you asked Him a long time ago and you've been out of fellowship with Him, I want to lead you in a prayer right where you're at. I'm just going to lead you in a prayer. If you would just pray this little prayer and mean it from your heart. Jesus, I believe you died for me. Right where you're seated. Jesus, I believe you shed your blood for me. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I ask you to save me. Give me peace. Give peace in my heart. I want to be led by peace. I want to be guarded by peace. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, the teacher, the teacher. And while your heads are bowed, right before we close, I want to pray for you, because maybe there's a person, maybe it's a Christian, maybe you just prayed the prayer of salvation and you say, Pastor Ray, I want you to pray for me. I haven't been living in the realm of peace, and I want to step into peace today, just like this woman with the issue of blood. I'm reaching out to Jesus, and I want to heed the invitation by faith to step into the place of perfect peace. Pray for me that I will step into peace today. Hands up, if that's you, with your hands lifted to heaven as I pray. I'm praying for you. We're acknowledging, just like the woman with the issue of blood, she's acknowledging, I got to get to Jesus. That's why our hands are lifted. So while your hands are lifted, Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for each person that acknowledges that they need the peace of God in their life. And I pray faith and endurance to step into this place of peace, to guard their minds, to guard their hearts, to resist these thoughts of worry and stress and cares, that they would cast their cares upon you, that they would walk by faith and not by sight, that even in the midst of a world that's void of peace, I pray that they would experience a supernatural peace in their world like they've never known or experienced before. That they would stay in peace and stay continually healed, made whole, prospered, complete. We declare that over your people now in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.